Isaiah chapter 9, if you have your Bibles there, open to that. And also, we're going to be looking at Psalm 139 just briefly this morning as well, as a kind of an overlay to the text. We're going to be speaking this morning, I want to speak to you about wise counsel, wonderful counselor. So I have some counsel for you, some Christmas counsel, and it goes like this. Forget the past. You can't change it. Forget the present. Oop. All good? Okay. Let me start again. Forget the past. You can't change it. Forget the present. I didn't buy you one. You're welcome. That's about as good as it gets this morning. This season is what we call Advent, and in churches where there is more of a liturgical approach, Advent is a whole season. It begins on the 1st of December and finishes on the 26th of December. Now, we don't follow Advent so much, although you can identify the Sundays of Advent, but Advent simply means visitation. If you want a word for Advent, it means a visitation. So some of you are going to have a particular Advent when your relatives visit you. You'll hear a knock on the door. It'll be a visitation that you could call Advent. But the Advent that we, whether that's good or bad, that's up to you to decide. But the Advent that we remember and we focus on at this time is the Advent of Jesus. And so Isaiah speaks about this Advent in Isaiah chapter 9, and let's just recap, reading from verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and in the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders and the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called, and this is where we got to a fortnight ago, if you remember, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let's pray together. Father, help us in these moments just to glean something from this text that is a revelation of you. Just a measure of who you are in all of your greatness and in all of your love and compassion and truth and justice. We want to see you in your glory this morning through the scriptures. So may we do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, where do you go with this text? We're up to the part that speaks about the names of Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. And I would suggest to you that we're familiar with the three last names, Everlasting Father, Mighty God. But are we familiar with the concept of Wonderful Counselor? And I just want to focus on that for a few minutes this morning. And let me speak first of all about the concept of wonderful. Because wonderful is a word that we use to describe all sorts of inane and ordinary things. You have a meal in the restaurant and the waiter comes and says, "How was your meal?" And you say, "Oh, it was wonderful." "Really? Was it?" It may not have been in Tin Can Bay, perhaps, that meal, but let's not go there. Or wonderful meal, and we're anticipating having a wonderful holiday. And we use the word wonderful in all kinds of cheap and diminished ways. I would suggest to you that the best way to use the word wonderful is describing something for which God is the only answer or the only reason or the only explanation. For example, the scriptures say that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It speaks about the intricacies and the beauty of the human body. Now, can you see then, to use the word wonderful to describe a dinner and wonderful to describe God's creation is an anathema. It doesn't work. So when we talk about wonderful counselor, we are talking about a counselor for which only God is the explanation. Do you understand that? The word wonderful is, I think, or should be, an exclusive word. And let's not use it in cheap and meaningless ways, although a meal is not a meaningless thing, but it diminishes the word somewhat. Now, let me talk about counseling, because some of you are a little bit skeptical about counseling, are you not? Maybe not in this room, but over the years, I have done a little bit of counseling, and I have encountered the resistance to counseling. And sometimes the body language is very instructive. I mean, I've seen guys that have been forced to do marriage counseling, and they come in like this. And when you see someone displaying that kind of, those of you who know anything about body language, right, you know that you're not going to get very far. There's not going to be a whole lot of traction with the discussion when someone walks in like this. As if to say, what is this idiot going to tell me that I don't already know? I don't need counseling, mate. All I need is another beer. And that'll solve everything. So there are some people who are very, very skeptical with regard counseling. And there may be some of you this morning that adopt that same posture. Let me say this. Over the years, I have seen several different counselors, and that's not to say that each successive counselor gave up on me as a hopeless case. That is to say that I have found it helpful at different times in my life to have the objectivity and the advice of a counselor. It's been a very enlightening and liberating thing. And so I want to say to you that counseling and counsel is actually a biblical concept, because in the Old Testament you'll see that the kings had their council, right? They had their cabinet and they had men who would advise them. And so this is what would happen. This is a typical autocratic king. The king would seek his counselors, and he would say, "Now, what do you think?" And they would give them, that counselor would give the king his advice, and "What do you think, sir?" And so on. And then the autocratic king would say, "Well, thank you for your counsel. Now we're going to do it my way." And then counsel was democratized to include all kinds of counsel and wisdom and advice. In fact, the Word of God is the counsel of God for you and me. Now, a name is very important. And when Isaiah says, "To you is born a child, a son is given," and then he goes on to spell out who this person is. And this person is for you and for me a wonderful counselor. Not an ordinary counselor, not a run-of-the-mill counselor, a wonderful counselor. So let me just take a few minutes to share with you why we need a counselor and then why Jesus is a wonderful counselor. Number one, why we need a counselor. We need someone that we can trust. Recently, I think it was about 3 or 4 months ago, I was sitting in my lounge. It was a Saturday night, and I was minding my own business watching TV. And out of the blue, I had a phone call. And this person on the other end who didn't identify themselves launched in to this horrible story of sexual abuse. Now, all sexual abuse is horrific, but this one was particularly horrific. And so I'm sitting there listening to this story and not saying very much at all. But because the person didn't identify themselves and because I didn't know who it was, I'm trying to figure out who is this person that has rung me out of the blue late on a Saturday night. And so for an hour, I listened to this story as it unfolded. And the only thing that I could say of any benefit and help to this person was this: I can't believe that you've managed to exist with that horrific abuse and somehow function as a human being for all of those years. That's the only thing I said. But meantime, I'm trying to think, who is this person? Because when they rang up, they were drunk, but they were still lucid. And I got to the end of the hour and the penny dropped. I finally realized who the person was, and it was someone who had come to see me about a month before, and I'd had a quick 5-minute discussion with them. It was a lady, of course. Well, I shouldn't say that. The men are subject to sexual abuse as well, but it was a lady, and I'm not in the habit of counseling women. Sorry, women, but the lady came to see me for 5 minutes. The door of my office was open, and in that time, somehow, she had garnered enough trust in me to ring me up on a Saturday night and unburden. We need counseling because we need someone that we can trust. The second reason we need counseling is we need perspective beyond our own. Now, there's lots of voices in this world, and sometimes those voices aggregate to fill our minds with stupidity and confusion. And perhaps sometimes the most deceptive voice that we have in our life is our own voice. And we need a counselor to give us perspective beyond our own. And with that, we need a counselor to help us understand who we are as a person. Now, this is my perspective, but I've come to the conclusion that the majority of people, except in this room, but the majority of people are not self-aware. It's a big call, but I see it all the time. Now, I don't mean self-absorbed, and I don't mean self-obsessed, but I think people who are self-aware are in the minority, not the majority. And we need a counselor to give us perspective beyond our own. Thirdly, we need a counselor who can give us guidance and wisdom. Now, let's just admit that this world that we live in is a world full of pain and trial. It's temporary, but it's a world full of pain and trial. And sometimes we just need a voice to guide us through the difficulty. The fourth reason is that we need a counselor to be a mediator. Now, some of you, perhaps again not in this room, but some of you have fallen foul of the wrong side of the law, and you've need a counselor in the sense of counsel for the defense. You've heard that expression. And you need someone who will mediate between you and the law and potential punishment, right? Counsel for the defense or counsel for the prosecution, whichever it may be. Now, if that's you and that's your experience, you can share that with me afterwards, and I won't post it on social media. The fifth reason we need a counselor is this: that we need someone who can speak life into darkness. Now, let's admit again that we have a tendency to gravitate towards darkness because darkness is good for us. Because in the darkness, we can harbor secret thoughts and secret actions. And we believe, don't we, that, well, I'm safe in the darkness until somebody comes and shines a spotlight on that and you realize that actually you're actually safe in the life, in the light. So we need a counselor for those reasons. Now, if I haven't convinced you that you need counseling, so be it. But let me share with you why I think Jesus is a wonderful counselor. First of all, Jesus can be completely trusted. So in your Bibles, just turn quickly over to Psalm 139. And let's have a look at these verses together. Psalm 139, and we read this in verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. Imagine that your thoughts could be read and your actions, the secret actions, were on a YouTube video visible to the people who are coming to visit you for Christmas. Okay? Your thoughts can be read and your actions are visible for all. Would those people still want you to visit them? Or vice versa, imagine that you know the thoughts and the actions of people who are coming to visit you at Christmas time. Do you still want them to visit? Jesus is a wonderful counselor for this reason, that he knows everything about us and he still comes to visit. There is nothing that you've done that's hidden from him. There is nothing that you've thought or will think or will do that is a surprise to him. He is not surprised by the fickleness of humanity, by people who declare undying devotion and love one day and deny him the next. He's not surprised by that. And he still comes to visit. What a wonderful counselor. Second reason that Jesus is a wonderful counselor is that he sees the whole picture. You know, verse 2, you know when I sit and when I rise, and you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, and you're familiar with all of my ways. And even before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. He sees the beginning and the end. Now, I don't know whether you've experienced this, but and let me just relate this to the recent interactions that we had with our friend Andy. Now, I'm a sucker, right? And so when I first talked to Andy, and so I jumped in on your behalf. I jumped in boots and all and said, yes, we can do this and we can do that. And after about a week, I started to discern that there was something not quite right. Some of you would have got this straight away. Bang, bang, but not me. After 2 weeks, I'm thinking, there's definitely not something right here. After 2 weeks and about 10 phone calls, it's not right. Okay. And when you're counseling with people, you see this. Jesus is a wonderful counselor because he sees this. And you can say to him, Jesus, I don't know where this is going. I don't know what the end of this circumstance will be, but you do. And to me, that's a wonderful counselor. And that's not me. Thirdly, he is a wonderful counselor because he never leaves. Where can I go from your spirit, says the psalmist. And he's a wonderful counselor because he will never leave. Now, I'm of the opinion that I need a 24/7 counselor. So I need the counselor who will say to me, are you really going to say that? Should you really be saying that? Should you have said that? What should you do now? I need the counselor who's going to say to me in the middle of potential road rage, should you be doing that? I need that counselor sitting on my shoulder. But who wants that gig? Who wants to be my 24/7 counselor? No one. I wouldn't want that gig for me or for anyone else. And yet the Bible says, where can I go from your spirit? You'll never leave me. And again, there's a contrast there with the normal run-of-the-mill counselor, because the normal run-of-the-mill counselor will say, oh, look, the hour is up. Ever had that experience? Why is it that when you go to a counselor, an hour is in fact only 50 minutes? What do they do for the other 10 minutes? Do they aggregate that and take an hour off at the end of the day? Or do they sit around thinking, wasn't that guy a nut job? I couldn't believe the stuff that he was saying. And then they anticipate the next nut job that's coming in. What do they do with that spare 10 minutes? This has bothered me for a long time. Jesus is a counselor who will never, ever leave. He will never clock off. He is the one who has mediated your salvation, who has stood between your penalty and the law of God and said, I will take this as a mediator, and at the moment is interceding for you to present you whole and safe to the Father. He is a wonderful counselor. To who? To you. To us a child is born. To us a son is given. And finally, not finally, penultimately, the fourth reason that he's a wonderful counselor is that his ways always lead to wholeness. Now, we hear a lot about, you must have a good work-life balance, right? Ever heard that before? Probably only a couple of weeks ago when I used that as an illustration. Must have a good work-life balance. Mustn't let work rule your life, and you must balance work and family and so on and so on, and you just descend further and further into guilt because you'll know you never get that work balance, that work-life balance. I want to say to you that the bigger issue is this. We need wholeness. And Jesus is a wonderful counselor because his ways always lead to wholeness, which in the Bible is the concept of shalom, which is peace, wholeness, completeness. And he's a wonderful counselor. Now, you just need to read 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, love is gentle, love is self-controlled. What is that? That is a picture of wholeness. And finally, and this is finally, he's a wonderful counselor because he brings light to darkness. Now, have you noticed, I don't know where you've been if you haven't, but have you noticed that the motif of Christmas is light? The people living in darkness have seen what? A great light. Tonight we're going to hold up candles which are light. John says of Jesus, the one who was coming into the world was the light for all men. He leads us into light. There are many distinctions made about people these days. I don't know whether you've noticed that, but you probably have. Male, female, working, retired, black, white, any number of distinctions, and any number of contrasts. I want to say to you, I actually think that our culture's focus on these contrasts and distinctions is a ruse of the enemy. Because I think there's one distinction that really matters, and it's this. The Bible says there are some walking in the light and there are some walking in the darkness. If you want to think about an ultimate distinction of humanity, that's it. There are some in the light and there are some in the darkness. And Jesus comes as the wonderful counselor to bring light to the darkness. Now, here's the thing. The Bible also tells us it's possible to be a person of the light and to stray into the darkness. And when that happens, the wonderful counselor comes as a shepherd, picks up the lost sheep, hoiks it on the shoulder, and brings it back into the light. He's a wonderful counselor because he brings light to the darkness. I trust that that's an encouragement for you. I trust that that's an opportunity to reflect on just one of the many names. Wonderful Counselor. He is that to you, and he is that for you and for me. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we would again admit our need for a counselor. Some of us may need to get counseling, but all of us need a wonderful counselor. And we thank you for Jesus, the one born a baby, the one who lived and learned obedience, the one who learned things by observation and yet learned things by revelation from the Father, the one who lived the life that we could never live, the one who died a death that we should have, the one who rose to life for us and gave us the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. And so this Christmas season, may we have the perspective and the counsel of the wonderful counselor to lead and guide. May the light penetrate the darkness of our hearts such that we might actually be light to those around us, the light of Jesus. And in your name we pray. Amen.